knows everybody. Well, this I can see also. That's all the light, huh? There's no light. That could be. Then there's a light. Oh, this is funny, so and we have all the air, all the air that we could manage to get from here. It's warm outside. A lot of Morocco students, ex-Morocco. Yes, I was told, and I see. How many of you are here? And God, brother.
Yeah.
And many elders. And then age. Poor body. Who is about 50 here? About 50. 1, 2, 3. Also 7, 8.
More than that. More than
Under 25. How many? Under 25. Under 25. And there's about 50. So many. And in between. Yeah, almost everybody here. Good sample. New boxes? New boxes? New boxes. New boxes. Bhakta is a title. It's a good title, right? So then you say new boxes in the room. That's good. The Bhakta. Title is the Bhakta. Honorable. You're honored. You're welcome. So you are in here for some time now. 2.5 months. I'm going strong. Alive and kicking. One little more to go. And it'll be over. Isha Upanishad. I come here to Mayapur to teach Isha Upanishad. In the past, I taught one more time a short course. It was in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, childhood pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So something like that I normally do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Bhagavata. But Isha Upanishad is a new topic, old and new, or new and not so new, or something to teach in a formal setup, becoming some kind of professor. In the classroom, and students in the chairs, and the whiteboard, not blackboard. So this is bit new for me. And so although it's Isha Upanishad and Mayapur teaching Isha Upanishad, the relief is you all have books, are you? Any students without books? You cannot be students if you don't have a book. And a student without pen, barber without. So, for the first time I noticed, in the past this was not there, subtitle. Sri Isha Upanishad. What is the subtitle? Did you read? On this page I'm reading. Isha Upanishad. The knowledge that brings one nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. I kind of took note of this very recently. Isha Upanishad is a knowledge that brings you nearer, closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I kind of knew some meaning. Upanishad, you also use pen, paper? Anyway, I don't have it in mind. You do yours. Whatever. Still this case. Upanishad. Upa. Upa means near, near, closer. And Nishada is sitting. Sitting near is kind of, in technical terms, refers to sitting near the professor, sitting near the teacher, and learning the knowledge, the Jnanakan, Jnan, that Upanishads teach you, so they teach the students. Upanishad is sitting nearer and learning. Ena mam upayantite. Upa, you are familiar with that upa. Dadami buddhi yogam. Tam ena mam upayantite. Krishna says in 10th chapter that I give intelligence. And what does one utilize that intelligence for? Upayanti te. Upa means closer, yanti means goes. With use of this knowledge or intelligence, one goes closer to the Lord in that case. I give knowledge and then that person comes closer to me. That is upa, is nearer. So now there's more to here than just a Upanishad. This is Sri Isho Upanishad. Sri Krishna, Sri opulence of the Lord Lakshmi, and Isha, Sri Isha. Isha is Lord. Parameshwar Isha. You are familiar with that. So this knowledge, so you first sit with the spiritual master, knowledgeable professor, different professors, Prabhupada explains. Different branches of knowledge taught by different professors. The Vedic knowledge of the professors. Learning the Rishis, the Munis. So of course as you sit closer to them and learn from them, then that knowledge certainly brings one closer to the Lord, to Isha, closer to Isha. They don't become the stumbling block between the student, the soul, and the Supreme Soul. They are just transparent, very transparent, via media. This professor is very, very transparent. Clean-hearted. And all Cheto Dhatmana Marjanam done. And that's how, of course, they received the knowledge. Being pure in heart, pure in consciousness. And then they became the best recipients of this knowledge. And then they teach you. And then you go closer to the Lord. Not only bring them closer to you and Swami for some time, and then one fine morning I declare, now I'm Narayan. Swami Narayan. Now you don't have to go. Don't look further. Or beyond me. That's it. Everything is here. I'm God and I am also my King. So those impersonal businesses. So that wasn't the case. So that is how Upanishad, you sit with the spiritual master, mirror him, learn this philosophy, this knowledge, and then Isho Upanishad will bring you closer to the, nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was thinking that every project has what do they work out in the very beginning? Project or
plan.
Yeah. Goal. Very good. There's another word I want.
Aim.
Aim, that's similar, something.
Introduction.
Plan. Introduction, plan comes later.
Achievement.
Mission statement. Mission statement. What about vision?
Vision.
A vision. During centennial, we use that term, a vision. What's the vision for the centennial? There was a vision for this petal, memorial petal, and another petal, and another. We had 10 petals of the lotus. And Teddy, you remember?
Yes.
Blooming lotus. And we worked out, huh? What is it?
Oh,
no. Okay. Not that it's going to be here for
the
next 2 hours.
You are.
So, the vision. So, we have Isha-Upanishad seminar starting today, lasting for how many days? Do they know the schedule?
Yes.
The schedule is, if you don't have a copy, Rabbosh is on the door. It lasts for
10 days.
More. Huh? Six sessions, as I remember. And then we have one more outing on the 25th on the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. Like yesterday, we went on the parikrama. One more parikrama on the 25th. And then four more sessions. Hmm? So six plus one. And then four. That's 11. 11 days. So, what is our vision? What we wish to achieve in this program? Well, what is the goal? What's the aim? Where will we get in 11 days? 11th day will be where?
Closer to the.
Closer! He's not speaking English anymore. So the vision or the goal or the aim of 11 days of studies is Sri Isha-Upanishad Ki
Jai.
Getting closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So keep that in mind. We always are remembering throughout the Sanjayan and here, we never forgot the vision. The vision, including Prabhupada consciousness, Prabhupada awareness, and etc. All of that. So keep that in mind. And then we turn to today's lesson called Introduction, and also, or more specifically, called Teachings of the
Vedas.
Today's lesson is, what is today's lesson?
Teaching
of
the
Vedas. Everyone got that? What is the lesson today?
Teaching of the Vedas.
So, long, long time ago. How many years ago? 69. Year 1969. In Conway Hall, London, England, this lesson was taught to Britishers. Prabhupada was teaching them lessons. You enemies. He rules over India for 200 years now. I'll teach you a lesson. So that lesson was not only good for Britishers, it was good for all people of all times. It's an eternal teaching. Teachings of the Vedas are eternal. So they are now being repeated here. What's the name of this hall? This hall.
Our house?
This classroom.
MIAT. Classroom 2 hall.
Say the building.
And this hall. I have the name here. Yeah, repeating that lesson. Ladies and. Oh, no ladies. Jayasad Maharaj was happy that they are only gentlemen. But they are ladies also. Soul is lady. Soul is a lady. Only gentleman is
Krishna.
Ladies will be happy to hear this. Water running? Did that just stop or?
Get used to this kind of thing.
So today's subject matter is teachings of the Vedas. And the next question is, what are the
Vedas?
Vedas. So before we start, I should it's 12:20, and the lunch is 1:10. Officially, we close at 1:00. Is something I never had learned.
We will stop you.
So I will talk. I will talk for 30 minutes or so, like a presentation. I was trained like that. I will explain what I should be doing, and based on today's lesson. By the way, you have come prepared, right? Did you read today's lesson? Each one of you, you have to do this every day before you come. You have to read the mantra and the translation and the purport, because we will not be reading the whole purport. The time doesn't permit to do so. So we are going to be just highlights and some, like, some points, and so that's my part. So I'll be doing that next half an hour or so, and then we have a little entertainment here. I'll show you a few slides. Well, the teachings of the Veda, same topic. And about half an hour, then I'm open for discussion, question, answers, clarification, etc. And finish. Subject matter is vast, the Vedas. So how much could you talk in half an hour about the Vedas? And if Prabhupada has spoken, I'm sure he spoke in 45 minutes or so. All that he wanted to say. But not that all, he spoke everything. But also, he was speaking at one engagement in the hall. So he has spoken in a limited way. But we could also say that all that Prabhupada spoke throughout his life was just the Vedas. That will be clear as we understand the definition of Vedas. And, so not that what he spoke that day in that Conway Hall, that was all the teachings of the Vedas. No. Everything that he spoke, he wrote, was all, nothing but just the Vedas. He was speaking, he was spokesperson, speaking Vedas all the time. So, so I have some guidelines here that I will try to follow. So as you have as Prabhupada begins talking, the Sanskrit verbal root Veda can be interpreted variously, but the purport is finally one. Veda means knowledge. Prabhupada immediately concludes, Veda means knowledge. You wanna, in fact, the verb is with. From vit comes vidya, and from vit comes Veda, and from vit comes vidvan. that dhatu, because dhatu. So vit is a dhatu, is the root. So Veda means knowledge. Any knowledge you accept is Veda. For the teachings of the Vedas are the original knowledge. Prabhupada is broadening the scope and all knowledge that exists. It is called Veda. The Vedas are authoritative, coming from the Lord, coming from perfect authorities, cannot be challenged, you cannot have any doubts about what they say. All that you have to do is just accept it.
As it is.
As it is. Why is this so? And Prabhupada, page 1, page 2, he talks about the defects found in the authorities in this world, mundane authorities, the scientists, the philosophers, and all those persons talking all the time or writing books. What is the problem with them? That problem does not exist with the rishis and munis and the Vedic authorities, but there are difficulties, deficiencies, flaws, doshas in the authorities, so-called authorities in this world. And what are those? The Prabhupada is listing them. 1, 2, 3, how many?
Four
of them. Pretty good. And, what are they? 1.
Mistakes.
Making mistakes. 2.
Imperfect sense.
That's not okay.
Illusion. Illusion.
And 3rd.
Cheating.
And the 4th. Imperfect sense. Did they get that?
Yes.
Now, where did Prabhupada get this? One source is, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Make a note. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi, chapter 2, text number 86. Nice verse. Brahma Pramada Vipralipsa Karana Patava Arsha Vigya Vakye Nahi Eid Dosheisa. So the 4 defects which you just mentioned are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Brahm. Brahm is mistake. Pramad is illusion. And Vipralipsa is cheating propensity. And Karana Patav is the senses are imperfect. And Arsha Vigya Vakya Nahi Dosha Isa. Arsha Vakya. When the sages speak, persons in disciplined succession speak on behalf of the Lord in their vakya, in their statement, these 4 flaws are not to be found. But they're commonly found in every other authority in this world. So you could go back to that verse sometime in some additional reference material. So you memorize this verse very nicely. Instead of saying Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Gila 2.
That's
right. 2.8. And then examples are there. Who made mistakes?
Mahatma Gandhi
was 1. Anyone who doesn't make mistakes? So or is human, Prabhupada? He was told, no, don't go to that assembly. He was in Delhi. He was going to Delhi. And he was shocked, but he did end up going there, and then he ended up losing his life and tempting the Kennedy and like that. Making mistake is a daily affair. So you are familiar with that. Then comes another defect, the illusion. The basic illusion is what? ദേഹാത്മബുദ്ധി ഗുണപേ ത്രിധാതു ദേഹ ആത്മബുദ്ധി. ദേഹ ഈസ് ആത്മ, ദിസ് കൈൻഡ് ഓഫ് ബുദ്ധി. ഇസ് എ ത്രീ വേർഡ് ദേർ, ദേഹാത്മബുദ്ധി. In your word is before. But if you can understand, then it becomes easier. Dehatma buddhi. Buddhi, intelligence. What kind of intelligence? Intelligence is saying deha atma. Deha is atma. The body is myself. This kind of buddhi is illusion. The body is made up of kapha, pitta, vayu. And you are not that. So, that's the foundational. This is, everything is based on, the foundation is wrong. Foundational premise, they call it. That's wrong. So everything else you conclude, you talk about, is going to be also illusory thing. Then, cheating. Do you have any experience, anyone cheating you? My God. Did anyone cheat you? Oh, which way? Which temple? Even if they do not know. Immediately they become authority. And very rarely they say, if they do not know, I'm sorry, I don't know. It's very rare. I live in India.
Yeah.
Immediately, when they become authority and tell you, authority, yes, God, you say it. Sorry, they don't know. So that's a very simple example of cheating. But, cheaters and cheated. Only two parties in this world, according to Prabhupada. One party is cheating, other party is getting
cheated.
Anyone else? There's no one else around. So that's the vipralipta, that's cheating, and lastly, our senses are imperfect. And still, can you show me God? They would ask. Can you show me God? But do you have eyes to see God? Prabhupada would ask. Do you have eyes to see God? Do you have perfect eyes to see God? When Arjun was given a new set of eyes, right? Okay, now I'm going to show you very special form, but here are the glasses. Divyam Dadari Dadati Chakshu. I'm going to give Divyam, Divya Chakshu. You wear them and then you could say. So senses are imperfect. And everyone wants to believe in anything, or anything, existence of anything. Only if they could see or touch or smell, or what else? Hear? Yes. Otherwise it doesn't exist. So these are the instruments, indriya jnana, the knowledge acquiring senses are there. But senses are instruments. So, because they are imperfect, you look at the sun, Prabhupada is always explaining. Look at the sun. How big is the sun? But if you really want to know, then you have to go to Shabda. Go into the book, words, and hear, read that. Then you will have a better idea of the dimension. So not by seeing, not by touching, not by smelling. Okay, my eyes are not strong enough. I'm going to use the telescope. Increase the power of my senses. But still, you do not see. Has anyone seen Golok Vrindavan? Their telescope cannot even show anything outside this universe. There are many universes there. So, senses are imperfect, so how could and touch you? You cannot, you're only here, you cannot go and touch and then experience by touch sensation. So, there are limitations. Human beings have, the conditioned souls have limitations. And they have to be admitted. So there's no need to be so much proud of the body of knowledge that's being acquired through the senses, because senses are defective, imperfect, and so these four difficulties are there, flaws are there in the mundane authorities, but these difficulties do not exist in case of the authorities, those who speak the Vedas, teach the Vedas, and they transmit the knowledge of the Vedas. So Prabhupada is making that distinction. In Calcutta, a very prominent scientist and doctor analyzed cow. Prabhupada is giving example. So whatever said in Shastra is perfect. The cow dung is considered pure. People smear cow dung and sit on it and then do puja. But if there's a stool somewhere, it's not possible. And the priest will run away from it.
Get this out of here.
So both are stool, but the cow stool is separate, and with cow stool, and it has antiseptic properties also. So it's considered pure. In India, one person tells another, "You must do this." Other party may say, "What do you mean? Is this a Vedic injunction that I have to follow you without any argument?" End of the third page at the bottom. Meaning, if it is Vedic injunction, then no questions asked. I just bow down, Mister. I just obey the command. If not, then debates and challenges. But as soon as it is said, Vedas say so, we say, Prabhupada said, shut up. Prabhupada said, shut up. Right? The Prabhupada said. Of course, sometimes we say something that was not said by Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that in one conversation. Prabhupada said it. Sometimes they say I said, Prabhupada said something that I did not say. I think he was in Detroit or something. First day. And that was those days, and what a seatbelt. 30 years later, learn the Prabhupada say it. Because we use the authority of Prabhupada said, so like that. Veda said, Narada Muni said, Vyas said, you shall. So the authority of, that is authority of the Prabhupada is trying to establish. The teachings of the Vedas. Teachings of the Vedas is the topic, so this is being explained, the authority of the Vedas. Now, starting from the bottom of page 3, the Vedic injunctions cannot be what? Interpreted. That's one. A few characteristics of the Vedas or Vedic knowledge are stated by Prabhupada. No interpretation, that is one thing. You may like to note down 1, 2, 3, 4 few things about the Vedic the knowledge, the Vedas. And but ultimately, if you carefully study why these injunctions are there, you will find that they are all correct. That's one. Vedas are not compilations of human knowledge. Vedas are not compilation of human knowledge. Hence, they are called apaurusheya. And that's a new term for you. You may like to, important term. You like to note that down. Apaurusheya, purusha, person, apaurusheya, statement that is not said by some purusha, some person of this world. That knowledge is called apaurusheya, means not, apaurusheya, not said by anyone, a mundane, someone from this world, some person of this world. That knowledge is called apaurusheya. We go on with Vedic knowledge comes from spiritual world. That's another, a very important The source of Vedic knowledge is the spiritual world from Lord Krishna. He is a source. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattaha sarvam pravartate. So, like that. But not only, of course, not only the planets come from him. Everything comes from him. Knowledge comes from him. Another name for Vedas is Shruti. Note that down. Another name for Vedas is Shruti. Soon you may be hearing another word, important word. Shruti and Smriti. Shruti and another thing is Smriti. Shruti is something that comes from hearing in the specific perception. Shravan, or Shruti. And Smriti, that is remembrance or pass it on. Smriti. So that's another. So the whole knowledge, in fact, is broken into two divisions. One is a Shruti division, other one is Smriti division. Shruti and Smriti. And so Vedas are Shruti. And then there are four Vedas, and if time permits, let's see, we'll also come to know how. You know, Smriti is Veda, it's called Pancham Veda. The fifth Veda is Smriti. All Smriti put together is called Pancham, fifth Veda. And that way, Shruti and Smriti, whole thing becomes Veda. So not only is Shruti is Veda, but Smriti also is Veda. Pancham Veda. We are still going on with what are the Vedas, or the characteristics of the Vedas. Another thing, it is not experimental knowledge, in other words. Shruti refers to that knowledge which is acquired by hearing. It is not experimental knowledge. Not experimental. Mahatma Gandhi wrote a book.
My experiment with truth.
My experiments with truth. And Prabhupada commented saying, you don't make experiments with the truth. You accept the truth. As it is, you don't make experiments with the truth. So that Mahatma was doing such a thing. He was making experiments with the truth. There is no question of experimenting. End of that paragraph, Prabhupada is saying that. There's no question of experimenting. It has already been experimented. It is already settled. It's all settled. Where is this knowledge experimented? The experiment means, where do the experiments take place?
Laboratory.
And these experimented, so where does this experiment take place?
Golok Laboratory.
Where else we could say?
In
Kshetra.
In?
Kshetra. Kshetradham. Okay. Yeah, we are getting there, getting closer. Say more.
Of the Acharyas.
Acharyas, good. Where, which part of Acharya? His hand part or? His heart. His heart part of the Acharya or Rishi Muni is also called. Say that in general. These experiments are done. Conclusion. They have come to conclusion. Final conclusions. Concluded, settled. And then hand it out. Refined and defined and redefined and purified and jewel-like. Somewhere in another version says 18 verses of Ishopanishad are like a jewel. Pearls, jewels, clear and clean and valuable jewels. Not rocks and stones and dirt. And, what is handed down are the jewels after all polishing has been done, cleansing has been done. Each verse, no flaw. No flaw is remains. So the experiments have been done in the pure hearts and the minds of the ages. In the Vyasa days, the Lord and his also the Asmuni and Rushish. So now Prabhupada then talks of Vedas are mother, and with the help of the mother, how does mother help? If you want to know who your father is, who do you go to?
Ask the mother.
Simple, right? Otherwise you'll be wasting a lot of time, Prabhupada says. So these people are wasting a lot of time when they do not refer to the Vedas, the source, knowledge coming from the right source, and they're speculating and independently. Bahunam Janmanam, Bahunam Janmanam, many, many births and deaths and births and deaths and births. So, you want to save the time? And how much time we have for being nearer to God? 11 days. I thought you were going to say one lifetime. So one lifetime. So in one lifetime. So no more losing lifetime after lifetime. So with the help of Veda Mata, she helps us to introduce us to Krishna Pita. Because Mata we have used, we could say Pita there. Veda Mata, Krishna Pita, Pita Aham, Aham Vija, Pradaha Pita. Tumeva Mata, Tumeva Pita, Bandhu Sakha, Tumeva. All you are all in all. So with the help of the Vedas, Mother, you come to know who your Supreme Father is. This is how you get closer, right? With the help of these Vedas, the Shobhanishad, then once you know who your father is, you can go sit in his lap. Sit next to him. So then, other different kinds of evidences, a way to acquire knowledge. And there are three kinds of evidences Prabhupada is mentioning here. Prabhupada is mentioning three because there are only three. And he's not the first one to mention this. He has not created. Prabhupada did not create this. Three evidences. What are those three? Sometimes, is the blackboard good for writing on? Or you write there? So sometimes, someone just gets up, if not the teacher.
Yeah, you tell someone.
Yeah. I have authority.
Hey, you have the full power. The whole power that you see.
And that can also happen. I'm just learning the tricks of my new trades here. So why not someone write? Let's begin with something. So pratyaksha, and you have to be very fast. Page Y at the top. Fifth line from the top. So they are what? Someone said? Pratyaksha,
Anuman,
Shabda. Pratyaksha is what?
Direct.
Sense perception. Or in here, Aksha means eye. And Pratyaksha means right in front of your eyes. That's the literal meaning. If you do some breakdown of this one word, it becomes two words, sandhi, and then pratyaksha, right in front of your eyes, pratyaksha, and then there's paroksha, beyond, pratyaksha, paroksha, that's another one. So that's the direct evidence or perception. Anuman. What is Anuman?
Assuming.
Inductive knowledge. Hypothesis.
Visualizing.
Imagining.
Based on logic.
Yeah, you're using some logic or some previous experience. The party, Kirtan party was passing by here. Did anyone see?
No.
But you. And some Anuman. in this case it was right. There's a lot of things you may not come to the right conclusion. Some anuma, anuma.
Logic can be anuman.
I think logic is, anuman is used in logic. Anuman is not logic. Shabda. And the shabda is a word.
Anuman is mind.
Yeah, follow. Anuman is follow.
Follow the mind.
Anuman. Man is mind.
Mind.
Anuman. Follow the mind. Follower of the mind.
Follower of the mind.
Yeah. And in fact, shabda, these three activities take place. Shabda is words, authoritative words, or words of wisdom, words of Vedas. These all shabda. Shabda Brahma. The shastras are described as
shabda Brahma.
Shabda Brahma. Or it's called Vangamai Murti. Vang, Vak. Vak means word. Vakmaya, full of words, and murti, personification of the words. When words are personified, when the words take the form, assume the form, the Bhagavatam assumes the form, that is Krishna. Vangmaya murti. So the pratyaksha, this business, this activity takes place at the level of the senses. Breakdown is like that. Pratyaksha, you can write to your left, on those spaces there.
Here?
Yeah. Pratyaksha, and you can, it is at this level of the senses. And Anuman, you already have figured it out. It happens at the level of
mind.
And Shabda,
hearing.
So who hears? Does your ear hear?
No, soul.
Soul hears.
The level of the soul.
And then the soul, yeah. We can say it, why not? Who's going to stop us? Because when the soul is not in the body, you have a ear. But does that ear hear?
No.
We can thus come to the conclusion the actual hearer is
the soul.
You have a mouth, which is a speaker. When there's no soul, you have a mouth, but does it speak?
No.
You have a speaker here and you talk. No. But if there was a some speaker, unless the teacher comes and speaks into the mind, that speaker is not going to be speaking. Today's speaker is Ahuja. Ahuja is a speaking public address company. Ahuja. Bosch, B-O-S-E?
Bosch.
Bosch.
Sony.
Sony. Sony, okay, Sony. Today's speaker is Sony. He's coming from Japan. The speaker, so the mouth is like that, box. Unless soul is there, no speaking, soul is there. There's no soul, no hearing. So, we can have that at the level of the soul. Thank you, Prabhu. Take your seat. And how are we doing? Oh, we have a... There you go. So then, the Vedic knowledge is called Shabda Praman. On the page 5, last chapter, Vedic Praman. And what does Bible say? In the beginning there was a word. In the beginning there was a word. And the word was?
God.
Word was God or word was with God? Word was God.
The word was from God and the word was God.
The word was from God and the word was God. As it is, Bible as it is. That makes sense, right? In the beginning there was a word. The beginning there was called the Shabda. And from Shabda comes the whole creation comes, and part of that Shabda is a Veda, Shabda, Brahma, Shabda Brahma, all this Vedic knowledge. It's coming from the north. We cannot even go to the end of the universe. So how can we go to the spiritual world? It is thus to acquire full knowledge is impossible. So by going there personally and acquiring cannot happen. Prabhupada says, on page 7, Prabhupada is talking of inductive and deductive knowledge. More, whatever Krishna says, we accept. That is Krishna consciousness. That saves much time. 4th line from the top, on page 7. towards the end of that paragraph, same page 7. In Sanskrit, this process is called aroha, ascending process. Inductive knowledge is aroha, ascending. You go up there and you get the knowledge. You want to go there, reach somewhere, or touch something, or smell something. Personally, protection. This protection business is inductive, and this is ascending, and this is aroha. Aroha versus the other word, avaroha. Avaroha, if you are interested in such terms. One is aroha, which is going at the top. And avaroha means you wait till it descends. Well, wait till it reaches you. Or you make yourself qualified so that you become recipient of that mercy, that knowledge. Climbing up the tree and what? You have some question?
Yeah, in regards of aroha. Is it synonymous to anuman?
Can you say something more? Well, it is a pratyaksha synonym. Also anuman, inductive, and the other one, both of these two, pratyaksha and anuman, this is part of the inductive ascending. Either you take your body or send your mind out there. So other senses are mana, shastani, indriyani, six senses, mind. You are trying to acquire knowledge directly or a little indirectly using the mind. So that's all inductive part. And the deductive is our, what we do, descending. We don't ascend. We wait for the is coming down, reaching us. That's the shabda. So I think that's clear. That aroha, aroha. And then Prabhupada is leading this into. So we are here on the earth. So how is shabda going to reach us? The shabda praman, shabda, that evidence, we rely upon that. That's the best one of the three. So that, then Prabhupada, eighth page at the top, it begins from the previous page also. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one must approach the word, compulsory is used. Approach a bona fide spiritual master, a guru. Connection is being made now. Some conclusions are there. And what is the qualification of a spiritual master? He is one, rightly situated, Brahmanishtha, established in the conclusions of the Vedas. These two qualities. He is one who is rightly, he has rightly heard the Vedic message from the right source, okay? He has heard from the right source, that is one thing. Shrotriya. Those are the words. Shrotriya. He has heard from the right source. And Brahmanishtha, that he is now established in that tattva, that truth. So these are the two qualifications Srila Prabhupada has mentioned here of the spiritual master. and by approaching him, that is the Paripatena. Paripatena Devaya, Upadekshanditi Jnanam, Jnanina, Tatvadarshina, Jnanina, Brahmanistra. Okay, end of the eighth phase, but you can very easily learn about him from his devotee. His devotee can deliver him to you. Here he is. Take him. Here he is. Here is Krishna. Take him. Krishna. That is the potency of Krishna's devotee. Krishna se toma. Krishna ji se paas. Tomara shakati ache. Is that Narottam Das Thakur? He says, oh, you have Krishna, and you could certainly hand that Krishna to me. Krishna says, Toma, Krishna di Deva. Tomara shakati, you are empowered, you are competent. So, amito kangal, Krishna, Krishna, bali, dhai, tava, pache, pache. I'm just running after you, begging, oh, Prabhu, oh, Guru Dev, Guru, oh, Prabhu. Give me Krishna, give me Krishna. And so that is that kind of one conclusion has been reached. Different things about the can't get into full summarization, you know what has happened from Vedas. Well, there are flaws in the mundane authorities, but they are not found in the spiritual authorities, those flaws. And then this Pratyakshanuman Shabda thing, which of the three evidences is the right one? Vedic knowledge is not to be interpreted and comes from Krishna, and what else? So that was that. Prabhupada had introduced the teachings of Vedas. There are four or five things about this. And then the best evidence is Shabda, and where to get Shabda. You get it from spiritual master, and once you have spiritual master, what do you get from him?
Knowledge.
Krishna. Krishna. Not only knowledge, but you get Krishna. That knowledge is Krishna. Knowledge, because knowledge takes form. Vedas, the Shabda takes form. And that's the personality of Godhead. Non-different. Become solid by hearing and by your faith is increased, and something that was vague and it becomes solid. Shraddha becomes nishtha, and you don't, no more U-turns, you just keep going. And then you have asakti, attachment, you have a vrati, ruchi, and then you have bhav, and then you are talking, Krishna friends. So like that. And then Prabhupada, talking on the ninth page at the top. Originally there was only one Veda, and then it was 12, and it was not even necessary to read. Right, that's good old days, huh? Good old days, you don't have to even read. You just hear and go. And then next time you come and you hear and you go. And knowledge never goes anywhere. It's just your property. It's just like a, what kind of memory? Photographic memory. Your camera has taken a photograph and it's there. You could develop and it's there. So the memory is to capture, shabda, and store, and remain intact. And whenever you want to download, it was there. No files getting corrupted, the whole thing.
No virus.
No virus. And that was those good times, the best times they had. Shruti Dha. Shruti, we just heard, right? Shruti and Smriti. And Shruti Dha. Dha means older. Giridhar or Muridhar. So they would hear, by hearing the Shabda, they would hear and retain that. Dhyan, Dharana, Samadhi, Astanga also. Dhyan, Dharana, Samadhi. Or Dharana, Dhyan, Samadhi. Pratyaha. So they still retained retention power. Amazing. So, but then the Kalo Sattvaharam Pumsam, the bad days were here, all the goodness was stolen by the age of Kali, and people lost their memories and goodness, my goodness. And you know what had happened. We forget it. And that's why Prabhupada recommended, what do we do? You want to remember something? What do you do? Write it down. Don't have faith in your memory. Write it down and then you can go back. So this is what Srila Vyasa had to do, knowing the situation, the times, bad times. He had to write things down. The Vedas were divided. People were so intelligent those days, sharp memories. Once hearing from the lips of the spiritual master, they would understand that Shukadeva Goswami was speaking. And King Parikshit, Raja Parikshit, was understanding. Not that one verse, okay, word meaning, okay, translation, okay, purport is this, you know, King Parikshit. Any questions? You spend on one day to one verse. Okay, next verse. And then word meaning. No, as the verse was said, uttered by Sukadeva Goswami, he was understanding word meaning and translation and the purport. Everything was getting revealed unto King Parikshit. Right there, on the spot. So that's a little sample of remnants of the from the previous age. The Bhagavatam was spoken at the beginning of the age of Kali, so it was not as bad as it is now. So the words spoken and understood. Same thing, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, and as he spoke, towards the end, he said, I'm ready to fight. And I kind of understood, but let's take break, let's take lunch now. And fighting. I have more questions. No. He had some questions. He was asking and he was understanding and he was becoming fuller and fuller and knowledge and realization and higher consciousness and was fully Krishna consciousness and ready to fight, perform devotional service. And we are there. I will not do this entertainment. So then the one Veda into four Vedas, and from Vedas come also Puranas. No, first from Vedas come is Upanishads. There are different Upanishads have origin in different Vedas. Ishopanishad has origin in Yajur Veda, if you want. Interesting to know. Yajur Veda. And so it is in a highly philosophical thoughts. The people of age of Kali had hard time grasping. So they had to be told in a story format, in some historical context. In reference to the context they had to be put into, so that they could be understood. And this is how then after Vedas and Upanishads the Pancham Vedas come, and those are the Itihasas and the Puranas. Mahabharata is Itihas, history, and the Puranas are there, all pastimes, all history, different accounts, and then it's easy to understand. So Vedas kind of Upanishads and could you put that one slide? We'll quickly run through that. and as long you have seen this before?
I have a copy in the table.
Huh?
I have a copy in the table.
Oh, they have a copy. Okay. That makes our life easy. So please study this and the whole thing. And you can see this is the basic knowledge here. Happiness. It doesn't say on. Got a good friend. This one. This one. But then these are the Shrutis. Another side is
Smriti.
From Shrutis come Vedas, four in number, and Upavedas also, Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, and the Vedangas. Angam is part. And you know what these things pronunciation also. All these things, six. You have six Vedangas and seven Upavedas. And is each one further is expanded into Upanishads, Aranyakas, Brahmanas, Sanghutas. And supposedly this for Brahmachari, I kind of understood that way. This one was for Grahastha, this was for Vanaprastha, Aranya one. And this is more for Sannyasi business, more finance and like that. And this is useful stuff related with the language and pronunciation, the nature, and this is useful for health and fighting. So this is the four Vedas right here, from branch out into. And this all is again called Pancham Veda. This is how Prabhupada explains in different purpose about the terms. First canto also, and you can see we are familiar with Pancharatras, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatriki, Vidhim Vina, Aikantiki, Rair Bhakti, Utpalaye, Kalpate. There's only disturbance. If you perform devotional service or practice God consciousness, but if it is not based on Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, Pancharatriki, Vidhim, and then other things related, then it's only disturbance. So this is what we are kind of deal with. And here comes Puranas 17 and 18 for his Bhagavatam. And his Shara Darshan. So all knowledge that exists is right here. And outside this, there is no knowledge. Outside this, knowledge doesn't exist. All knowledge that exists, not only Hindus' knowledge, all knowledge that exists, wherever it exists, it is right here. And Srila Vyasadeva had to say that, he said, "Na yet na iha asti na kutrachit." This is Vyasopki, the statement of Vyasadeva. He says, something that is not here, it doesn't exist anywhere else. Yet, whatever, not, iha, here, asti, it is not, na kutrachit, anywhere else, it's not there. So, and you, whatever you want to think of, whatever that is there, is all part of this. In this form, that form, Bible format, or Quran format, or whatever form and shape it takes, everything has a connection. And the professor, the Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanto Guru Hitam. Everyone went to Guru's ashram, and they were scientists. And they were studying no more of the Shastras. So they were teaching everything. Okay, you are Brahmin, everything that you need to know for the rest of your life. Okay, Kshatriya, you know. Okay, Vaishya, yes, Shudra, for they didn't go to Guru Kul. Shudra is no Guru Kul. So like that. all spiritual knowledge, mundane, so-called mundane knowledge, is all Veda, right? Prabhupada's statement was from the very beginning, what did he say? For the teachings of the Vedas are original knowledge. That also, and we also in the purport of Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, text number 22. You can write that down. 1:4:23. Prabhupada says, no one therefore can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. Quite a powerful statement, right? No one therefore can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. So all that you need to know, all that knowledge exists is in Vedas. And as we are referring to the Bhagavatam, or you may be interested to go through chapter 4 of the first canto, starting verse number 15, and this is again Vyasadeva speaking. He's talking of how one Veda and more Vedas and Puranas, and then I get this, and then I compile that scripture, and then still I'm not happy, and all that. There's a dialogue between Vyasadeva and Narad Muni. So in there are several verses. They're also talking how one Veda and then further expansion and more professors and Shishay, Rashishay, that Shishay, their disciples and their disciples and the branches of knowledge and expanded all over the world. And then Vedanta Sutra.
What is Vedanta Sutra?
It's the end of the Vedas. One more time. It's the essence of the Vedas Vyasadeva compiled. After the Vedas and Upanishads, he compiled Vedanta. Vedanta. End of knowledge, that is. Vedanta Krit. I'm the compiler of the Vedanta. End of knowledge is Krishna. Where knowledge ends, that's where you meet Krishna. That's where Ishopanishad is. You get closer to the Lord. Therefore, there are sets of verses technically known as Vedanta, and Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on Vedanta. Janmajyashayadaha, beginning with everything emanates from the Lord. You know what the Bhagavatam is, so then you can kind of do a little anuman. So go to the roots. The root of Bhagavatam is Vedanta. Vedanta is commented upon by the same author, yesterday, in the form of Bhagavatam. And then there are different commentaries, and finally we also, Gaudiya did not have their commentary. Everyone else had their commentary. And then Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he wrote our commentary called Govinda Bhashya. He went to Jaipur, and it was Lord Govinda who spoke the commentary. Baldev Vidya Bhushan was woken up. Please come. And he went in the DD room, sat down with pen and paper, and Lord was speaking. Things were getting revealed unto him. Divyagyan Hriday Prakashita. And then he was writing, and then he declared, yes! Govinda Bhashya, Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary. And this is how we were accepted as somebody, some authority. And they were, where is your commentary? Where is your commentary on Veda? So, Lodhya Vidya Bhushan, the Prabhupada is mentioning that on the 10th page, our commentary. And it's not in Shankaracharya's commentary. Not only Shanta, we also, Vaishnavas have commentary. Because in the West, then, more popular version is Shankaracharya.
Okay, with that, we will stop.
And, how do we know that Vedas were spoken by God? God says, Vedanta Krit, Vedavit, Chaham. I'm compiler of the Vedas, Krishna says. I'm knower of the Vedas, and Vedas are meant to know me. And after Krishna said that, Arjuna says, whatever you say, Krishna, yes, I accept because it's true. Yeah, faith in persons who are free from the four defects. People have blind faith in fact. But good is your open eye faith in a person who is blind. A person who is going to have all four defects in them, and you are following them with your open eyes, and you are still going to be getting into trouble. But here is a person. They are free from all these four flaws, so you could even follow them blindly. So you want to ask questions? Funny person is there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was that quote from yesterday?
You want to write that down?
The reference. Or where is it from?
That's okay. Unknown. It's not known to me.
From yesterday, you got it from?
I don't even remember.
Not yourself as continuing recording?
No, I haven't come across. But I said maybe. Okay. In future, maybe. We'll get the check.
What is the Srimad Bhagavatam in this?
Right there. There is a. Taking Puranas, major, minor, already Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramana Mamalam, that's one thing, but Purana Vidam Tatha. The end of Bhagavatam says of all the rivers, Ganga is supreme. Nimnagaanam yathā Ganga, Vaishnavaanam yathā Shambhu, all the Vaishnavas, Shambhu is the topmost. Devanam Achyuto yathā, and Achyut, Sri Krishna, is top in all the Devatas, in God. Purānānām idam tathā, of all the 18 Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is tathā, means likewise. Position of Ganga, amongst the rivers, position of Shiva amongst the Vaishnavas, the truth amongst. So right there, there's a lot of power.
Also, Upanishadas, I hear that mostly impersonalists study Upanishadas. Our language is called translate from Keno, Kapital, Keno, Parishada, Kena, and Katana. And always we can see that Vaishnava Prabhupada was translated, is putting in bracket some words that explain that he is a person, it's not the God is person.
Right, it depends. But if you see our green glass. Then the world looks green to you. If you are the blue one, the whole world looks bluish to you. So it depends who you are. Prabhupada is looking at Upanishads and he's seeing Krishna there talking. So this will bring you closer to the Lord. Ishavashvamiram sarvam hiranmayena patrena satyasya pitam mukham. One day we'll be studying that verse. In Ishopanishad. Please remove, please! Too much of this effulgence. I want to see the lotus seed mukham also. Because I'm your devotee, I have right to see you. So that is there. So that's, I think, to defeat impersonalism, Prabhupada has translated this Trishopanishad. What was the purpose of why he took up this Upanishad? He's showing Krishna, showing God here. Lord walks and doesn't walk. He walks and he feet. In order for God to be complete, Om Purna Madha Purna Midam Purnam is complete. So if he's only impersonal God, then he is incomplete. So he has to be impersonal and personal, then he is complete. So Vadanti Tattva Vedas. Tattva Vedas, the knowers of the truth, they have come to conclusion. Brahmeti, Paramatmiti, Bhagavaniti, Shabda Vedas. So no stopping at, you saw the light and So that's, you get into trouble for that. You may see the light, but you have to keep going. Keep going. Penetrate through the light, go to the source of light, and you will see the personality of Godhead.
When was it
spoken?
Is there some story behind it? Is there some background or something? Or is it just beyond throwing?
Anyone know?
You can find out something on that, because some of them are actually coming from Hermes, who's reflected in from Paramus, and there's a leader, so we can get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that it was spoken by Swayambhu Manu, the prayer to Yajna, the son of Akuti. These prayers are there in the 8th canto, 1st chapter of Bhagavatam, verses number 9 to 6 or 7 of this. They summarize these four institutions into Bhagavatam verses.
Note that down. Because he's saying something important.
That's
Bhagavatam Maharaj's reference.
Can you repeat?